use authenticity in the explanation. God, we thank you for your word, the seed of your word. Now, God, drop it into the hearts of those that you have gathered in your house. We thank you that you're merciful. We thank you that you're gracious. We overcome every evil spirit, even right now in this moment. We praise you, God, for proclamation. We thank you, God, that your word still reaches us all the way from heaven. We thank you, God, that you have power, that it is your desire and good pleasure to bless those that you love. And God, we pray that you would bless us in this moment. We pray, God, that we would be strengthened. We would be encouraged. God, I pray now even for strength over the physical fatigue, and pray, God, that you would use this vessel for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you're glad to be in the house of the Lord, you ought to give God some praise. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord. We greet you in the name of the risen Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. We praise God for all that's going forth to set the atmosphere for this moment. Amen. We thank God now for our attention being called to the word of God. So I call your attention to Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. We're going to close this series, Surviving Seasons of Stagnation. We've already looked at the seed sown in me and the seed sown for me. And today we're going to look at the seed sown by me. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. If you haven't found it, you can catch up to us. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. But blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall remain green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. You may be seated. Blessed is the one that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he and she shall be like a tree planted by the waters, and spreads out her roots by the river, and shall not fear when the drought comes, but the leaf will remain green and healthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will remain green and healthy, and shall not pull back. Amen. In the year of drought, neither shall she cease from yielding fruit. Can we give God some praise for that word? When Moses prepares to depart, he gives his final farewell address to Israel in Deuteronomy, I believe it's around the 28th, 29th, and 30th chapter. And just before God tucks him away in the mountain and hides him away from them, until now, he's still hidden from them. He reminds them on his way out of there, the pathway to blessing and favor remaining upon their lives was for them to always remember to operate in obedience. In other words, he tells them that if they are going to see good days, if they're going to have the blessing and the favor of God on their life, then they would have to follow God's instructions. I know it gets difficult because there are some seasons where we're called to follow God where we can't see how that's going to work out. It just seems like it would be better for us to establish our own way and do things on our own terms because that's the easiest way according to our thinking. But Moses reminds them that the only way to remain in the place of God's blessing is to remain obedient unto him. And is there anybody in this house that's had to trust God in some seasons where things did not look like they were going to turn out for your good. I wish the church was woke this morning and we could just celebrate once again of what God has done in our life. If we were to be honest in here today, we could testify that there have been some seasons in our life where it did not look like it was going to turn out for our good, but we had to trust God because we wanted to keep favor on our lives. Now, I do have to tell you in the report that Moses gives them that there is another side. There is another side to the coin, and that if you do not keep God's ways, he tells them that they would experience the cursing and all of the things that would come against them in their life. Now, I want to be clear, because before we begin to try to determine what's going on in somebody's life based upon what's happening, you got to be careful. Because everybody that's going through a dry season, it's not because they've done something wrong. And everybody that's having life well and having all of their bills paid, everything in order, is not because they're obeying the Lord. You do remember the record of Psalm 37, where the man of God had a problem because he said, it looks like when I look around, the wicked seem to prosper. It seemed that folks who had no idea about the goodness of God had no intention of praising God this morning, that you pass on your way. Some of them looked like they were faring better than you are. But can I tell you, he said that in that Psalm 37, that way would soon perish. God ultimately runs and walks those down who will not obey him. So it just works out better to follow the Lord. So here it is. Moses tells them in Deuteronomy that they got to follow the Lord in order to be blessed. But by the time you get to Jeremiah chapter 1 and even to chapter 17, you will discover that Israel is in an adverse position. Judah is in an adverse position because they have not kept Moses' command to obey the Lord. So here it is. It's put them in a place. Some of us in this room can testify. It put them in a place where they're in a season of drought. That's when everything around you dries up. They are dealing with dryness. Is anybody dealing with some dryness? They are dealing with dryness because rather than enjoy the blessing of God, they had bent the blessing of God into a place where they were looked at as a mockery and as ridicule. And people would say, how is that the people of God? Here it is. When you're in a place where you're dealing with dryness, I want you to understand very quickly and very surely, hope well, that what you do matters. The choices that we make when we're dealing with dryness are paramount. What we do, how we do it, what we seek and who we seek, how we operate and how we continue to sow does matter in those moments. But here's the thing. Droughts can be difficult. When you're in a dry season, it can be difficult because all of your resources are gone. The wind is harsh and there's not anything to stop it from blowing through your life and taking away everything that you had in reserve because it's a drought. It's dry. It seems that nothing is growing. It's a season of stagnation. It can become difficult. Not only do we have to deal with the dryness, we got to understand that droughts are difficult. We also have to understand that in the season of drought, droughts don't discriminate. They don't discriminate. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you grew up on. It does not matter who you know and where they are positioned in your life. Droughts don't discriminate. They find all of our address. You know how I know? All of us will deal with loss in this life. All of us know what it's like to suffer loss and to be sick in our body and to have resources dry up and to lose in relationships. All of us can understand what it's like to be in a season of dryness. Even sometimes in your spiritual walk, you can find yourself operating in a season of dryness because droughts don't discriminate. It visits everybody's address. And so we have to come to the conclusion and the understanding that it's not a matter of if one comes, but when.
what will you have on reserve by the Spirit of God that's going to get you through that season of stagnation and back to a place of productivity?
So here it is. The difference in your drought is how you respond to those unexpected moments that are harsh, that halt your progress. Anybody got some stuff seem like blocking your way? Sometimes I feel like no matter how I try to climb and how I try to press forward, it's always more pressing back against me. It seems like the more you plant and send out seed, and you're following the proverb that said, cast your bread upon the waters and after many days it will return. It seems like all you get back are rocks and hard stuff. It seems like sometimes in life you just want to throw your hands up and complain to everybody you run into because nothing seems to grow in the place where you're planting. All the seeds you put in the ground, nothing seems to germinate and come back with fruit toward you. And it can be frustrating. It can be difficult to navigate those seasons because there looks like there's no rain in sight. Sun is scorching down on everything you're planting, and it seems to burn up on the vine. Season of stagnation. You're blessing and you're pouring and you're over here and God is using you to serve over here and nobody even responds to say thank you. Nobody appreciating the fruit of your labor, and it can be difficult. Can I just talk to the real church? It can be difficult in those moments to keep filling pews and being in the pulpit and being in the sound booth and being in the choir stand because nobody seems to notice that everything in your world is drying up. You got a living spirit on the inside of you, and everything around you in the natural realm is drying up all around you. How do you respond in those moments? I'm out of here in two things I just want to live for you. Jeremiah reveals to us that we have an opportunity in both of those times. When you think about the seed sown by you, the first thing he tells us is there's a danger in sowing to our flesh. To operate according to the flesh. Because here's the thing. When you're in a season of dryness, you're going to sow somewhere. You're going to sow somehow. But he reveals to us that there's a difference and a distinction into where you sow and how you sow that determines how God brings you out of it. Here it is. He says in verse number 5, the Lord says, not Jeremiah, the Lord says, and Jeremiah just reports what the Lord says. He says, the Lord says that the man who trusted in his flesh and makes that his right arm of strength, he is cursed. And the one that departs in his heart from the Lord, even though he's in a dry place, it does not excuse us departing from him. See, here's what he says. First of all, he says, who makes his own arm, the flesh, his arm. That is to make the flesh your strength. Now, isn't it a wonderful thing that in God's creation, he created us in his image. We talked about in the seed sown in us. God created us in his image, and he gives us all the faculties of our limbs. He gives us the operation of our organs. He gives us the beauty of our minds with the intellect and all of the things that can determine and discern. But at the end of the day, as beautiful and as wonderful and as intelligent as we are, our minds are finite and our bodies are temporary. So you cannot rest in a place where your mind will get exasperated and go beyond your understanding of how you're going to deal with what you're doing. And ultimately in your flesh, your body will get weary in the middle of what you're going through. You cannot rest on that strength when you're going through a season of stagnation. It can't be about you. Because when we make it that our own arm is our source of strength, what we are declaring to God is that we're going to operate from here forward, God, in self-reliance and independence apart from you. We are declaring ourselves independent from you, and we're no longer under your leadership and authority. But when you make that choice, you're also no longer under his covering. And what we don't realize,
is that while we would love to have things our way, we also have to understand there's some stuff you can't keep from coming in on you if the Lord didn't protect you from it. Here it is. It's one thing to lose a job, but then when you lose that job, the Satan will come in and also cause you to lose your mind and to lose all hope. It's one thing to lose a loved one, but then the next thing is to lose all hope in grief and despair because of what you lost. So you got to be thankful that even though it's dry, he has not left you in a place of despair because he comforts us. I hear the psalmist saying, Psalm 46:1, the Lord is a very present help in the time of trouble. He comes near to those that are in the midst of despair. He comes to those that are afflicted and helps you to bear your. Is there anybody in here that just came to church to testify? I'm glad he's protecting me. He protected me. He wants you to understand you cannot rest in your own strength. But also he gives us this understanding. He says that we cannot turn our heart away from God. Listen, I understand. I get it. I can relate to the fact that when you are a child of God and your season gets real, real dry. I ain't just talking about dry. I'm talking about real, real. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Real, real dry. Well, you can't take no cocoa butter oil and moisturize it and get any moisture in that thing. It's just ashy dry. You know how it is when you're out there at the gym and that person is out there working out and you take their shorts and pull them up and you see their knees and all of that white ash. That's what I'm talking about. That's dry, dry stuff. When it gets that to that place, when it gets to that place, you cannot turn away from him, because here's the reality, he never turns away from us. Even though it may look like things are dry and everybody has forgotten about you, if you would have been in church on Monday night, I told the crowd there that God saw Gideon, even though he was in a wine press and he was there threshing wheat in a suck and in a low place out of the sight of everybody around him. But God sees us when we are in a dry and a sunken place. Oh, I wish I had some witnesses in here. Some of you sitting here looking like I don't understand what you're talking about, but all I tell you is like my grandmama used to say, keep living, baby. Sooner or later, it will get dry in your life. And you need to remember, don't turn away from him. You want to turn to him. Here it is. When you turn away from God, I told you that you can't trust your body because your mind is fine. That means the stuff it just don't understand. You'll get to the limit of your own mind. You'll get to the limit of your own body's strength. So when you turn away from God, you begin to turn to self for your own purposes, for your own provision, for your own wisdom. In other words, what you can do is when you get in a drought, you can determine to get in your own thoughts and how you feel. Your thoughts and you know, one of the worst things that a believer can operate in is I got in my feelings. When you get in your feelings, it's going to be hard to stay in faith, because feelings will tell us, do what's easiest. Do what makes you comfortable. Don't worry about nobody else. Girl, you do you. We got to stop doing us and start keeping the will of the Father intact, even though we're in a season of dryness, because God expects us to remain faithful unto him. Here it is. We make our feelings and our thoughts the final authority in every decision that we make. Now, how many times have you been in a season of dryness and you made a decision based on your own thought and your feeling, and rather than it getting the moisture right back into that thing, it just made it even drier? You know why? Because, see, it's like going out into the desert. You're looking for water, and you're looking for it in the wrong places. And what you didn't realize is when you turned away from God, it was like going deeper into the more hotter part of the desert, where there was surely nothing for you, farther away from your replenishment and your strength, because you were going deeper, even though you didn't realize, because you had turned away from God. Our young folks, I'm glad it's you Sunday. You got to understand that seasons are going to get dry. You may have to struggle to finish college. You may not knock it out in 4 years. You may not have your finances in order in the first few years of your marriage. You may not have things lined up A, B, C in the first few years of you getting into some stuff. But you got to understand, whatever takes place, don't ever turn away from God. But let me help my young folk out. I understand why they turn away from God. Because they see their parents and their grandparents and their church members turning away from God. And the reason I know we turn away from God is because when we talk about the decisions we're going to make, we don't even invite God in the conversation.
God said, this person is cursed. Our will versus his will, and our will winning is that puts us in a place of being cursed and withered up. He says, it's like a heath or a shrub in a desert that will not see good when it comes. Now watch this. If you watch the text carefully, you will see that says that there's a transition there, even though it doesn't say that things change. He says that shrub that's in the desert will not see good when it does come. You know, the rain is going to fall sometime, somewhere. So what he says is that when that person goes so far out there away from God that they're operating in their flesh, that when God does send the rain that will refresh, the bush is not in the right location where the rain is going to fall. So they don't see the opportunity to transition out of dryness back to the place of prosperity and fruit again, because they have left the place where all of that stuff really was. That's why you got to be careful with Satan. He will put you on some wild goose chases, chasing stuff that really can't do anything for us. He said that you will be like that bush in the desert that will wither up, that will never see the rain that comes to refresh it, because it's not in the right place. Now, if I just tell the truth, we tell the truth in this house today. All of us have had times, have been here and turned away from the Lord. We've turned away from him. We've relied on our own strength. We have turned away from him. We've done things our own way. But as Moses tells Israel, that's sin. You may not have known that, but that's sin. That's sinful to say that we trust God and then not operate according to God's word. To operate in the flesh and claim God as our provider, who owns everything. To claim God as our healer and to operate in our flesh, the same is sinful. If we stay there, my brothers and sisters, I hate to tell you, but I got to tell the truth and inform you in the report that the Lord says that you are going to be under the curse. You will never see the good that will come if you remain in that place, and you will have no hope. But here it is. Here it is. What God does, he understands it would be hard for us. So here it is. He gives us the seed for us. Romans 5:8. He tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. I don't know about you, but that means me as well as you. God sent Jesus to die for us. We talked about last Sunday how he was the sacrificial offering that was offered for all of man for all time. He did that so that you wouldn't have to stay in the place of your flesh, but you could transition to another place called faith. Then watch this, not only the seed that he gave for us, but he put a seed in us, because Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21, that he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might take on the righteousness of Christ in him. He allows his Holy Spirit to live now on the inside of us. So watch this. We have a seed sown for us. We have a seed sown in us, so that the seed sown by us cannot any longer be of the seed of the flesh, but it is of number two, the seed of your faith. So here it is. We have the opportunity, and I'm out of here today, to sow according to the faith. You have opportunity to sow in your flesh, which is going to leave you in the same place, just as dry as you want to be, just as ashy as that workout warrior in the gym. But if you want to see some good days, we better learn how to sow into faith. Here it is, very quickly, verse 7, 8. He says, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Before you ever get to the stuff that he tells us will happen in that part of trusting God, isn't it just a wonderful thing to just think about how you trust him? There's a song that says, I love this song, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just so sweet to trust him at his word. Isn't it a wonderful thing that when you've been down in the dumps, you had a season of dryness that just kept on lasting, that there was a word in the word of God that just ministered to you and wet your life again and began to encourage you that the rain was going to fall again, that he was going to bless the seed of your ground, and that he was going to turn that thing around. You would be healed. You would have stability. You would be able to save that relationship, because God is in the business of blessing those who trust in him. And then when things get tough, he says that the Lord is your hope, even though it has not changed. We believe that it will change, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I just believe God today that somebody's situation is going to turn around and your dryness will be cured with the moisture of your trust. Here it is. A couple things he tells us the Lord is near. He says that the tree is planted by the waters. And I want you to know that just as the tree is planted by the waters, the life source that gives the life to the tree, so are we planted near the Lord. We are planted near God in our faith. So you are connected to a life-giving source at all times. That source that comes from the rivers of water, he says, that never run dry. He wants you to know the Lord comes near those who are in those dry places. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart and of a contrite spirit, because he wants you to know that regardless of how dry your season is, he will never leave you. He will never leave you. He says this, I'm moving through this quickly. He says that spreads out roots by the river. He wants you to know, not only do you have his presence, you also have his provision. Because here's what he says. He says, the Lord will provide. Have you ever thought about a stream and where it flows to? It always flows into a place that's an open, a place where a body of water is. But as it flows, people build cities around. Most of your major cities in the world are built around the place where water is flowing. You know why they do that? Because it always suggests to us that there's an opportunity for something that's not presently native to that place that's able to get there and reach there, because water flowing in that direction not only gives life, but it also provides provision to all who are located in that place. So what you got to understand is that when you are in the Lord, even though your season is dry, he has determined that there's some water that will flow by your address. Help me, Holy Spirit. That's why you can be encouraged, even though you're losing, even though you're down, even though you're sick, even though your finances are jacked up. That's the reason why you can rejoice, because there's a flow that the world can't cut off. There's a flow that Satan can't interrupt. There's a flow that circumstances cannot diminish, because it comes all the way from heaven's bosom. He sent water your way to encourage you. He says, I'm water in a thirsty land. Is there anybody ever took a drink of him today? He says, you have his presence, you have his provision, and then you have his continual abiding fellowship. He says you're in this place where the Lord chooses to be with you when you're going through. And then watch this, because the Lord is there, he says that when this seed goes through a season of dryness, watch this,
You don't even have to fear when the heat comes. Most of us know we were not intended to be consumed as food, so we don't like it when we wind up in ovens. We don't want to be on anybody's table being served up as somebody else's meal, so we don't like it when we're put in the place of heat. As a matter of fact, if you just had a notion that you didn't mind, you didn't think hell would be too bad, if you've been in Alabama the last 2 weeks, you've probably changed your mind because it's hot out here. The heat, when the heat comes, it sends folks scurrying for a place of cool and comfort. They look for somewhere to rest and to be able to recover and be rejuvenated, because heat will drain you of the life. But here in the text, he says that in the dry season, the seed does not have to worry because there's no fear. Even though heat comes, it's all right. I still got everything I need in the right time, because God knows how to give it to me when I need it. It's in the text. The one who trusts the Lord does not fear when dry seasons come, because he's not afraid of the heat. Maybe the reason why we're so afraid of the heat and the stuff that could come is because we're not really trusting God. When you're really trusting God, you don't worry about the would be and could be stuff. You just thank God for the is right now stuff. You thank God for the promises that he made, that he would always cover and keep you and provide for your needs, because he is a covenant keeper. I was in the back. I heard the song they sung in the praise time. They talked about he's a way maker. Anybody know him? He'd be a way maker. He's a way maker. He's a promise keeper. I thank God that he is a promise keeper. Even though others may have broke that promise, God will keep his promise, because that's what he is. He is a covenant God. So here it is. Here it is. Here it is. They don't have to fear when the heat comes, because the Lord removes the fear and keeps you confident. You begin to understand that no matter how hot it gets, God will keep me in a place where I can still grow. Because here it is. The Lord gives life and growth even in dry seasons. You know, if you stayed in a drought too long, a plant that stays in a drought too long, it becomes visibly evident that it has not received any rain. I remember the first time I ever came to Hopewell for anything related to ministry. We were having a GHIMF meeting out here about 2001, and Pastor Cole was out there in the foyer watering the plants. I didn't realize the significance of it in that day, but I thought about this in the days that have passed, and even in this week, as I looked at this text again, he was watering the things that looked like they were thirsty. And when you come to the house of God, you ought to come with your picture ready. You ought not come looking at the watch to see how long you gonna be in church, but you ought to just come and just, Lord, just fill me with everything you want to pour out today, because I'm in a dry place. I can't talk for my neighbor. I don't understand maybe what they're dealing with, but I come today because it's me standing in the need of a blessing. So here it is. Perhaps the reason why your season remains dry is because you will not trust in the Lord. You say you're trusting in him, but you still have fear when the heat comes, because you're worried about whether you're going to be sustained. But watch the text. The text tells us that the Lord will give you life and growth rather than you being the plant, even though you're in a dry season that's got parched leaves and that turning brown and folk about ready to throw you away and get a brand new plant. Well, God will let your nuts look like what you're going through and what you're dealing with. He will keep your leaves green and I'll tell you what the Lord also showed me. Sometimes we're planted among some stuff that's really weeds around us. And you know what weeds do to plants? They
they choke them by taking all the nutrients that were designed for the plant and taking it for themselves. And the stronger the weed gets, the more it vices its grip around the plant and takes the life out of some folk that are around you. Some folk, you better be careful in this pew that you're sitting on right now. They may be a weed in your life, but don't worry about the weeds that are around you. Just understand that they may be there. But even though they may be there, God won't let them choke out the resources that he's sending from heaven to get to you. He'll keep you encouraged even though nobody will call your phone and visit by your address. He'll keep your leaf green even though the doctors can't figure out what's going on in you, because God knows how to keep you growing and alive even in a dry place. You know why he keeps the leaf green? Because you remember in Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth, he didn't ask permission of how the leaf should grow. He just put it in place and spoke what should be, and there it was. And as long as it's connected to the soil and the ground, it has an opportunity to keep on growing. Because life belongs to the Lord. I said life belongs to the Lord. Your dry season can't kill you. It can't take you out, because you belong to the Lord. And last thing I leave with you is this. The Lord will allow all of those things to take place. But here's what I love. Here's what I love about the text. Verse 8 concludes with this encouragement. That if you will sow in faith, he will ensure that even though you're in a dry season, you'll keep on producing fruit. So here it is. The Lord will bear fruit through you. If you're sowing the faith, the Lord will bear fruit through you. He will bear fruit. It's not just a surviving tree or even a thriving tree, but it's a tree that's surviving, thriving, and abiding in the place of giving and sowing. Here it is. What we do most times is when we get in a dry season, we pull off our giving coat and we look for folks to give to us. Help me, Holy Spirit, right through here. The reason why some ministry in Hopewell struggles is because you say, I'm in a dry season, and Pastor, I just can't give like I need to. I can't give my time, my talent, and my resources like I need to, because I'm just in a dry place. But soon as the Lord bless me to get out of this dry place, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. No, baby, the word of God tells us today that even though you are there, God knows how to keep seed in your hand, because you are a sower. And the reason why you may not have seed is because you ain't sowing nowhere according to your faith. You're sowing according to your flesh. That's why everything keeps drying up. That's why you can't keep any money. You can't keep good health. You can't keep strength. Can't keep any friend, because you're sowing in the flesh. But what you begin to see in the word of God, I didn't make it up. It's in your Bible if you didn't tear it out. He says to us that even in a season of drought, you can keep on with your food production. In other words, don't pull back on your giving. Don't pull back on your serving. But I heard David say, what shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? He said, and I will take the cup of salvation. And I will go on and bless the Lord with what he has for me. Don't change it on me. Don't change it on me. He will bless the Lord. Yeah, even though things are getting dry. Can I tell you, the Lord wants to make somebody in Hopewell fruitful today, even though you're in a dry place. Yeah, Lord. Well, what is it he wants to do with you? Well, he wants to make you a tree alive with fruit. Have I got a witness here? Yeah,
Can I ask you, is your tree alive today? Is there any fruit on the vine? Well, can I tell you where some fruit is? The Bible tells us that we ought to have love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I thank God He'll give us the fruits of the Spirit. Can I tell you, blessed is the one today who's trusting in the Lord regardless of dryness in your life, for He is your hope. Can I encourage you? Philippians 4:19 says, my God will supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If that didn't work for you, I read in Psalm 126 around verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that bears precious seed shall again doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his fruit with him. All I'm trying to tell you, you've sown in tears, you've cast out seed into some other places, and it seemed like ain't nothing coming back. But the word tells us that where you sown and it was painful to sow, you will reap in joy. Have I got a witness here? Well, I thank God today we've got a witness in the Word of God. And can I tell you one more thing that's found in Joel chapter 2? And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats will overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore, hallelujah, to you the years that the locust has eaten, the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and you will eat in plenty and be satisfied. And watch this, and praise the name of the Lord your God that had dwelt wondrously with you, and my people will never be ashamed. I'm so glad today He has power to turn your dryness into a season of blessing. He's turning it around for your good. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct your paths. Is there anybody here gonna trust in Him? Trust in Him. Yes! Trust in Him. Yes! Trust in Him. He's able.
Are you going to trust in Him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a preaching machine right there. That's all I can say. That's a preaching man. That's a preaching man of God. We thank God. We thank God for Pastor Davidson. I appreciate him. I thank God for sending him. The church prayed for a whole year before he showed up. So he landed where he's supposed to be, like a 747 on time. It's time for our invitation to discipleship. Now, I know somebody that heard that word today. If you haven't been born again, and you're not sure about your salvation, you know it's hot in hell. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. If you have not been baptized and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to come down to the front and one of these ministers will work with you and they'll pray for you. If you are visiting from another church and you would like to be on the watch care, you can be on the watch care. If you move care, you can be on the watch care. If you move care, you can be on the watch care. If you move care, you can be on the watch care. If you move care, you can be on the watch care. If you move care,